Welcome to Live with Lon. We are so glad that you've joined us, and we're continuing in our study of the Gospels, and it's very exciting now. We're up to the Last Supper and the events of the final weekend of Jesus' life, the betrayal, the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So, let's get going. Are you ready? Lord Jesus, I pray that you would open our hearts today and enable us today, Lord Jesus, to understand your word in its deepest components, because the Holy Spirit is illuminating our hearts and our minds and our spirits so that we can do that. Lord, anoint me as I teach this, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Well, today, we're going to start talking about the Last Supper. And, of course, it's called the Last Supper because it was the last meal that the Lord Jesus Christ ate with his disciples. Now, it really was not just a supper, a dinner. It was the Passover Seder, S-E-D-E-R, the Seder, which is the Passover meal, particularly the first night of Passover. And as such, it was held on the 14th day of Nisan, the month of Nisan in the Jewish calendar. Remember, the Jewish calendar is a lunar calendar, not a solar calendar. And the month of Nisan, 14th day, is always the first night of Passover, and it floats. It's not always the same month or even the same day in the solar calendar, so Passover could be in March some years. It could be in the end of April in some years, so because it is a lunar calendar. But it's always the 14th day of Nisan in the Jewish lunar calendar. Now, let's look at the scripture and see what the scripture says. What do we study here at Lon Solomon Ministries? We study the Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible. Come on! And then we apply it to our life. And we're going to use the New King James Version of the New Testament. So, let's begin in Matthew's Gospel. And it came to pass, verse 1, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, that he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to be crucified." Skip down now to verse 17. Now on the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, Passover, the disciples came to Jesus and said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover meal, the Seder?" And he said, "Go into a city, the city of Jerusalem, to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover." Now let's go to Mark's Gospel. Mark chapter 14, verse 12. And on the first day of unleavened bread, Passover, when they killed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover?" And he sent out two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him, and wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There, make ready for us." And the disciples went out, came into the city, and found it just as he, Jesus, had said to them, and they prepared the Passover, And in the evening, he, Jesus, came with the 12 disciples. Finally, Luke chapter 22, verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed, the Passover lamb. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat." And they said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare?" And he said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. And you shall say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large furnished upper room. There make ready." And they went and found it as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. And so this was the background to the Lord's Supper. It was a Passover meal. The first night of Passover. And the Jewish people would sacrifice a Passover lamb in those days. A real lamb they would sacrifice. And as they were told, they would sprinkle it on the lintels and doorframe of their house, and they would eat this meal to commemorate the Lord not taking the firstborn child of the Hebrews the way he did of the Egyptians. Okay, so that's the background. Now, this festival, this feast, is outlined in the Old Testament for the Jewish people to observe every year as a remembrance of God's delivering them from the 10th plague in Egypt. We're in Exodus chapter 12, verse 24. Look, New American Standard Bible version. "And you shall observe this event, the Passover, as an ordinance for you and your children forever. And it will come about when you enter the land which the Lord will give you, the land of Canaan, as he has promised, that you shall observe this service. And it will come about when your children say to you, 'What does this ritual mean?' that you will say, 'It is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the sons of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians, but he passed our homes.'" He spared our homes. And the people, when Moses said this, bowed low and worshiped. So this is a command of God for the Jewish people to do every single year. And so this is what the Lord was doing here at the Last Supper. Now, that's as far as we're going to go in our passage today. We're going to ask our most important question. Are you ready? Come on, here we go. 1, 2, 3. So what? Yeah, and here's my friend, Jackie. And what's he say? Huh? What's he say? How sweet it is. How sweet it is. Oh, yeah. That the Lord passed over the Jewish people. You say, "Well, Lon, what does this mean to me?" Well, friends, I want you to remember that every ritual, every feast in the Old Testament is meant to be a picture, a preview of some aspect of the Lord Jesus's birth, of his life, of his work, salvation work, of his ministry here on earth. Every one of them has this symbolic, preview to his work. And once the Lord Jesus came and fulfilled the work of the cross, then these rituals and these feasts of the Old Testament are no longer necessary. why should we celebrate the ritual and the picture once we have the reality? Let me show you that in the New Testament. Romans chapter 10. Look at this with me. Verse 4. Look what it says here. It says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." Once the end of the law and all of its rituals no longer are necessary, because he is the end, he is the fulfillment, he is the capstone, he is the apex of all of the Old Testament. It all pointed towards him. And this is what Paul says in the book of Colossians. This is so important that we as believers understand this. A look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. "Therefore, let no one judge you in food or drink or regarding a festival or new moon or Sabbaths." This is all from the Jewish law. Watch verse 17. Get this. "Which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ." Do you understand what Paul's saying? Christ is the substance. All these other things were shadows pointing to him. Once we have him, why do we need the shadows? People ask me, "Do you celebrate Passover?" I go, "No. I have the living Passover in my life." "Do you celebrate the Sabbath?" "No. I have the living Sabbath rest, Book of Hebrews, in my life." "Do you celebrate Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement?" "No." Why? Because I have the living atonement for sin. The Lord Jesus' work on the cross and his spirit in my life. If I have the living atonement, why do I need the shadow of a Day of Atonement? Do you understand? Okay, so, do I celebrate the Passover? No. Why? Because I have the living Passover in my life. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, it says, "For indeed," the end of the verse, "Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us." Who's the real Passover? Well, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the substance, Paul says. The feast itself is the shadow, pointing us to what the Messiah was going to do for us when he came. And let's talk about that now, okay? Christ, our Passover. Why does Paul say that? Because everything the feast of Passover and the events of Passover say and do, Jesus fulfilled. Only he fulfilled them spiritually and eternally, not just symbolically. For example, the Passover is always celebrated on the 14th day of Nisan. That's exactly the day when Jesus went to the cross. In the Passover, the lamb that was slain had to be a blemishless lamb. Christ was tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. He's the blemishless Lamb of God. The blood was the key issue of the Passover lamb, and the blood of Christ is the key issue in the plan of salvation. The blood had to be sprinkled on the doorpost and the lintels of a Jewish person's house, on top and the two sides, forming what? A cross. That's exactly right. And it was the blood that, when God saw the blood on the lintel of the door, he passed over that house, the death angel did. Well, when the Lord Jesus covers us with his blood after we accept his work on the cross as our one and only hope of forgiveness of sins and salvation, He covers us with his blood. And when God sees the blood covering us, he passes over us in judgment for sin and hell. That's why it's called the Passover. This is why Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, listen, says, "For you died with Christ on the cross once you trusted him, and your life is hidden with Christ, hidden behind the blood, hidden with Christ in God." Yes. So, remember, anyone outside of a house with blood on the doorpost there in Egypt that night, their firstborn son died. If a Hebrew had been out in the streets and not behind a blood-stained doorpost, his firstborn son died. And if an Egyptian took refuge, as apparently there were some, from a careful reading of the Old Testament, there were a few who listened to their Hebrew friends and hid behind those doorposts in their Hebrew friend's house, their firstborn son was saved. It had nothing to do with being Hebrew. It had nothing to do with being Jewish. It had nothing to do with being a slave. It had to do with the blood. It was all about the blood, just like it's all about the blood of Christ in God's plan of salvation for the human race. Christ, 1 Corinthians 5, is our Passover because his blood, Colossians chapter 3, hides us. We hide behind the blood of Christ. It covers us so that when God judges us for sin and hell, but he sees the blood covering of Christ over our doorpost, spiritually speaking, he passes over us in judgment. Do you understand? Christ is our spiritual, real, authentic, permanent, eternal Passover. Praise the Lord! How sweet it is! Oh my gosh, how sweet it is to have a salvation like this. And so, as the Lord Jesus gathered to eat the Passover Seder, he's about to tell his disciples, as we'll see in the next several weeks, that he is the Passover. He is the living Passover. He is the living Sabbath rest for the people of God. He is the living atonement for our sins, not the Yom Kippur day, but he is the living atonement for our sins, and on and on and on. You understand? Praise the Lord. So, let me just say to you, if you're planning to face God uncovered by the blood of Jesus, then you're like a Hebrew, for example, who might have said, "Hey, I don't need this blood on my door. What is this kind of gruesome nonsense? I'm not doing this. I'm a Hebrew. I'll face God just the way I am." You lose your firstborn son. Sorry. No blood, no passing over you. Today, if we say, I'm an American. I've gone to church all my life. Now, my mother was a great Christian. My father was a great Christian. I give money to the church. I sing in the choir. I go to Sunday school. I teach Sunday school. I lead a small group. I this, that, and other thing. I'll face God just the way I am. No, 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 no. You don't want to do that? No. If you're uncovered by the blood of Jesus, I'm sorry. God is not going to pass over you in judgment for hell, for sin. No. I don't care how much money you put in the offering plate. Doesn't matter. The only thing God passes over in judgment is when we're behind the blood. The Jewish people in Egypt had to be behind the blood. We, them of that lamb, we have to be behind the blood of the Lamb of God, the perfect Lamb of God. And God will pass over us in judgment. This is why, and I conclude with this, John the Baptist said in John chapter 1, verse 29, here's what he said. He said, behold, look at this, pointing at Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the ultimate Passover lamb whose blood, when you hide behind it, takes away the sin of you in the sight of a holy God. It's like lead and God's x-ray vision doesn't see through the lead of the blood of Christ. Just like Superman's x-ray vision couldn't see through lead, real lead, the blood of Christ is supernatural lead that the holy eyes of God refuse to see through. And when you're hiding behind it, God will pass over you in judgment. Gosh, I hope you've done this. If you haven't, I'm going to give you the chance to do it right now. Let's bow our heads. And if you've never trusted the death of Jesus on the cross and his shed blood to be your one and only payment for sin, if you are not actively, proactively hiding behind the blood of Jesus shed on the cross as your one and only protection from the holy judgment of God against your sin, then right now we're going to pray a prayer, and I hope you'll pray it with me, and let's change that. I'm going to pray one phrase at a time. You pray right after me. You can pray out loud or silently, whatever you want. Here we go. Dear Jesus, I come to you today because I need to be protected from the holy judgment of God against my sin and my sinfulness. Like the Hebrews in ancient Egypt, I want you to pass over me in judgment. And so right now, I give up everything I've ever trusted to hide me from your judgment against sin, to pay for my sin in your holy sight, and to get me into heaven. I give up my religious activity. I give up my good works. I give up trying to keep the Ten Commandments. I give up all of it. And instead, I place my full trust and I embrace the death of Jesus on the cross, shedding his blood to pay for my sin. I embrace this as my one and only protection from your judgment against my sin. I actively hide behind it as I get ready to face you one day, knowing that it will protect me and that you will pass over me in judgment and in hell. Lord Jesus, cover me with the blood of Jesus now in your sight, and become my Lord and Savior today. I repent of my sin before you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, wow. I sure hope you prayed that prayer with me, because that's the only thing that's going to cause God to pass over you and me and our sinfulness, is the blood of Jesus, just like the only thing that caused him to pass over those Hebrews that night was the blood of the Passover lamb. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to our website, lonsolomonministries.com. I want you to go under the sermons, pull down menu. I want you to find Spiritual Boot Camp, the series. It's on there. Just go down a couple iterations if you have to. And I want you to digest Spiritual Boot Camp. I mean, I want you to listen to it over and over and over until you can almost say it in your sleep. And I want you to nail down that spiritual truth, which will be like boot camp and will be a solid foundation of solid theology that will lead you in a solid way and put you on solid ground to face the living God and to live the Christian life. Now, if you didn't pray that prayer with me today, what am I going to say? But you thought about it. Yeah. I want you to listen to Spiritual Boot Camp, because after understanding maybe more in depth all that I've said today, you might just be willing to pray that prayer. So either way, if you're not absolutely positive, you're behind the blood of Christ, like those Hebrews were behind that door with blood on it of the Passover lamb. Spiritual Boot Camp. Just before we go, man, after truth like this today, we got to remind ourselves what Jackie said. What did he say? How sweet it is to have a Savior like this. And I'll close with the words of the writer of the book of Hebrews, whom I believe was the Apostle Paul. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away our sins. We need the real, eternal Passover lamb. Look at this, verse 12. But he, Jesus, having offered one sacrifice himself for sins for all time, don't have to do it every year, sat down at the right hand of God. Look at this, verse 18. Now where there is forgiveness like this, there is no longer any offering that's needed for sin. Why? Verse 14. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those whom he has sanctified. For one offering on the cross, he has perfected in the sight of a holy God the salvation of all of us who trust him for all time. He don't have to do it again. How sweet it is. Thank you, Jesus. All right. We'll see ya, Lord willing, next week.